You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Thanks to Concordia University Wisconsin for supporting The Coffee Hour. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin at cuw.edu. Today, we're learning about mission education opportunities, serving internationally, and learning about what happens in the mission field. Joining us today, Erin McKenzie. She's volunteer coordinator for the Latin America and Caribbean region with the LCMS Office of International Mission. Erin, welcome back.
Good morning. Good to be back.
And also joining us today, Aaron Wade. He's a first-year student at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Aaron, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
And Patrick Randolph, a fourth-year student at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hello.
So these students participated in a mission education team. Aaron, what is a mission education team, and what's the purpose of a mission education team?
So mission education is a type of short-term service that is offered through the Office of International Mission in Latin America, as well as other regions. It's a growing phenomenon, really growing in popularity, and it kind of is breaking all of the paradigms that North Americans associate with mission work. You're not necessarily doing a building project for an entire week or doing a vacation Bible school or giving out medication or eyeglasses or anything. Not that any of those things are bad or that we don't do any of those things, but mission education is, it's an eye-opening week. It's a participatory week. It's very customizable based on the dynamics and interests of the group. And it really just plugs them into everything that's happening in the life of the church, all of the different aspects of ministry in whatever the place is that they're visiting, and gets them lots and lots of face time with the missionaries and local leaders that live and serve there.
That is, so it's a really like immersive experience to see what life is like in the mission field.
Very much so.
All right, guys. So I'm curious to learn about your experience as seminary students and what interested you. So let's talk about where you are in your seminary education. Aaron, where are you in your seminary education and your pastoral formation?
So I'm finishing up my first year here at Concordia Fort Wayne.
And Patrick, how about you? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Aaron.
So I'm kind of the one end of the two bookends we have here. I've just arrived. I've just kind of finished up. This was in almost the middle of my first year doing this.
And Patrick, how about you? Where are you in your seminary education and pastoral formation?
I'm wrapping up my fourth year, the final year of the NDiv program, but I'm not taking a call this year, sticking around for our STM program here in Fort Wayne.
What is, for those not familiar with the STM program, can you tell us a little bit more about what that program is and how that will serve you and the church?
Yes. So it's another master's degree modeled more after a small PhD almost, with a lot of intensive research and a thesis, so that I can be a teacher among my fellow pastors, as well as, if needed, be called up to teach at the university level, things like that. But it's just one step below the PhD.
Very good. So both immersed in education, it sounds like you both enjoy learning. So what prompted you, what interested you in serving on a mission education team? We'll start with you, Patrick.
Well, I've always been a little bit interested in our overseas mission, especially in such a connected world. We see videos from all over the world constantly. I'm hearing stories. And just as a younger man, I've met so many people who worked overseas and how animated they were by the love of Christ, as well as just so knowledgeable about this big wide world that God has made. So as I was finishing up seminary, I started talking to my wife about overseas mission and these opportunities. And I thought, you know, if I can at least get my Spanish better and be able to talk to people in Spanish, at least in the United States, let alone all of the Spanish speakers around the world, I'd love to get better at Spanish. So I thought, why not take this trip to the Dominican Republic and just get immersed in the language as well as the people and the culture?
How about for you, Aaron?
So my interest started more with domestic missions here in the United States, church planning, and frankly, somebody told me about this opportunity, said, hey, we've got this trip coming up. We've got this educational experience coming up in Latin America. Sign me up. I want to take advantage of kind of everything they've got to offer, the information that I can get a hold of. And this sounded like a great opportunity to learn from the people that were actually doing this.
What's one or two things that you were hoping to learn while serving on the mission education team in the Dominican Republic?
What does Lutheran mission look like? And what does Lutheran mission in Spanish look like? And that's something that we've started focusing on more here in the United States. So what does that look like?
For me, it was the seminary that we have there that we support, and all of the students and teachers there, how it's more and more being handed over to the native people in the Dominican Republic, as well as people from across Latin America, that they get to build up this seminary to serve all of Latin America. It's such a cool place to be. So learning about how this little compound in the Dominican Republic is affecting mission all over Latin America was so interesting to me.
Aaron, do you have any comment on that? It's a cool place to be.
It's, I mean, 100% agree. No, I would just echo their sentiments. The Dominican Republic is the headquarters of mission work, of OIM's mission work in Latin America and the Caribbean. But like they're saying, it really does have that kind of international flair because of the seminary. Largely, we have students that are studying from all over the region. So, I mean, I kind of take this for granted, I'm sure. But in my daily life, I'm interacting with people from Bolivia and Venezuela and Mexico, Guatemala. And you really see how what we do in this, you know, a three-story building in this little sort of campo, like rural town, you know, suburb area of Santiago is impacting the world. Hmm. Our graduates are a pretty significant percentage of the Lutheran pastorate in Latin America.
That is pretty exciting. So you got to go experience this. How many days were you in the Dominican Republic?
Was it 11 days?
There's 10 or 11 days, depending on how you count travel.
So describe for us maybe just one day or one event while you were in Latin America, if you want to pick one that was a highlight for you or significant for you. Patrick?
Yeah, well, I remember a lot of snapshots. One in particular, we were visiting one of the urban congregations there near the capital. This congregation it was kind of tucked away in one of these lower income neighborhoods, lower income even in the Dominican Republic. And as the pastor and the field workers were walking around, we were shadowing them, which was the whole purpose of the trip, to go and see how they do their work. And seeing the ease with which they walked up to somebody's property and called through the fence to see if anybody's home. We join them in their little homes and sit in their front yards, where there's not really grass, there's more plantain trees. And they bring out little bottles of soda. And it's cold and it's chill just for us, so that we can be entertained. But when we're there being entertained, what we really want to do is share the gospel. So I really remembered sitting in these Dominican homes, listening to these people speak and hearing the accent, the language. But more than how much I'm learning, I'm noticing these seminarians who are out doing field work and learning to be pastors, I'm watching them give devotions and blessing people and praying with people, hearing about their problems and how God's word can build them up. It wasn't that foreign, really. When you get down to it, it felt very homey. And then, of course, we get back in our van and we hop in our little bus called a Wawa. It has a very good aesthetic. When you see a Wawa, you know it's a Wawa, not just a bus. Like it's very, very specific. And the traffic is otherworldly. The people, you know, spiritual problems are the same, but the traffic, dodging in and around, trying to squeeze through cars parked and moving and people walking across the streets. I think that's one of my big memories. A little scattered, but.
How about for you, Aaron?
I do want to add, I think we had probably the best driver we could have had in the Dominican Republic. He was the professional at it. The biggest, I guess, memory or one of the things that struck me the most was our experience at Kilometer 28. Kilometer 28 is a psychiatric hospital and reintegration home for those that struggle with certain types of disabilities. And what the mission team was able to give us as far as background on this institution was not positive, and it had a very, I guess, it was not treating people well. And it's something that might be unique to the Dominican Republic and the way the mission team was able to approach it. But we were able to go in there, and in sharing the gospel, we were able to give these people a quality of life that they did not have otherwise. So when we went up there, you know, these residents, many of whom were struggling with mental disabilities and other types of ailments, and we're laughing and we're playing bingo and we're knocking around a beach volleyball in a very clean and very happy environment. And this is something that is due primarily to the hard work of the team down there. It's a government-run hospital, but because of the nature of the Dominican Republic, we were able to go in there and very much share the gospel with these people and help set them up with a better quality of life. And to echo Patrick's sentiment, I think we attended three different divine services while we were down there. And the only difference really was them being in Spanish. I mean, it was the divine service. It's what we were used to. And it was almost shocking how relatively normal everything was. And though it was in a different language, it was still extremely familiar.
We're going to chat more and learn more about the seminary students' experience serving on a mission education team in the Dominican Republic in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. Today we're learning about mission education with two seminary students from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Aaron Wade and Patrick Randolph, and Aaron McKenzie, Volunteer Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean region with the LCMS Office of International Mission, sharing some insights with us as well. Patrick, tell us about how your experience in mission education is shaping your pastoral formation and your seminary education. How do you think this will impact how you view the Office of Holy Ministry and how you might serve in the future?
My experience at Fort Wayne has been so incredibly blessed. There's so much support for us here because of these generations of people who love the Lutheran Confession of the Faith and love their church and would love to see more pastors. So we're just surrounded by support, like our food and clothing co-ops, churches all around that love to take care of us and want to support us, give us opportunities to learn, to preach and teach and show the care of the gospel. So having so many opportunities in Fort Wayne of Lutherans being around to support and wanting to see me succeed, it's very different to go down to the Dominican and realize that not only are Lutherans a minority, but they most of the pastors, most of the field workers aren't Dominican themselves. The churches are still relatively new, maybe one and a half generations in. So seeing those men, as well as the deaconesses there who are showing a lot of care and are really on the front lines of bringing people into the church through just good gospel-centered, merciful interactions with people, hospitality. That frontlines work, that almost frontier mission has really changed how I look at the pastoral ministry. Seeing the church less like the club that we all get to be a part of and take care of. We all like the same things. And remember that it is about Christ uniting people together around the gospel, gathering us together, even though by nature we might not have too much in common. We might live in the same neighborhood or live in the same town. But when Christ brings us together and saves us together, he makes us a family that is unshakable. So seeing that in person, seeing the church come together in a really new and fresh way, very inspiring for me, really helped me remember what the job of being a pastor is.
Aaron, how about for you? How has this mission education experience shaped your seminary education and pastoral formation?
So two pieces to answer that question. One, going forward, working with the domestic mission here in the United States, at least as I'm working through my seminary career, and understanding what Lutheran mission fundamentally looks like and what Lutheran identity looks like and how we define those things. And how as Lutherans we can bring the gospel to different groups of people. And the second part of that answer is about how it shapes us. I said, you walk into a Lutheran church down there, and it's not much different than walking into a Lutheran church up here. There might be slightly different decorations, language might be a little different, but fundamentally it's the same church and the same confessions and the same liturgy that we're used to here. And so there's a bond that you share with these people because of the church that we're a part of. And there wasn't a whole lot of transition that had to be made to this is the church. So realizing the bond that is there because of what we do and because of what we believe, teach, and confess, and how we worship, that crosses so many different lines.
Aaron, what do you want mission education teams to experience when they visit the Latin America and Caribbean region?
Largely the kinds of things that they are commenting on. I mean, scripture tells us that we have one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And so one of my favorite moments is when people make those kinds of connections and they come and they sit next to their Dominican or Peruvian or Jamaican or what have you, brothers and sisters in Christ, and just realize that they're all part of the same confessional Lutheran church. There's one big global body of Christ.
Mm. So what does it take for you to, and the others that are on the ground in Latin America and Caribbean region for students to experience this mission education experience? What kind of things, what kind of preparations go into place? Or is it just, hey, welcome, this is what's going on this week?
No, there's definitely planning and preparation that goes into it. But kind of, it is just, here's what's going on this week. I mean, I could do a mission education team every single week and it would look different every mm-hmm. single week because sure. the mission field is constantly changing. Or the same team could come, you know, one year and then they could come back the next year. And we would definitely do different things. We're constantly, there's new missionaries on the field, new mission plants that are getting off the ground, new activities that our congregations are launching in an effort to reach out in mercy and in evangelism. So definitely lots of planning and preparation, but it is just plugging them into the life of the church with sort of an intentional eye towards, I want them to see the variety, the breadth of everything that goes on. So I want to intentionally get them to as many of our congregations as I can and make sure that they're hitting each of the elements that mm-hmm. that sort of characterizes the mission in a particular place. Make sure that they are meeting as many of the mission team as they possibly can, students, deaconesses as well.
Tell us a little bit about the mission team in Latin America and the Caribbean region that students get to interact with. I mean, it's a pretty big team in the Dominican Republic, right?
It is, yeah. The Dominican is really unlike any other mission field in the world. Even other cities that function as their regional headquarters don't have anywhere near the number of missionaries that we have in the DR, which makes it sets it up really, really well for hosting this type of team. because there's just a lot of stuff going on with that many hands around. And there's a really wide variety of missionary vocations, which I think is also helpful for mission education teams, because it opens their eyes to the fact that you don't have to be a pastor to be a missionary. You can be any age. You can be a lay person. You can be, you know, somebody that works on computers and does all the money stuff, like our business office. Mm-hmm. You can be someone who enjoys being creative and taking pictures and writing articles, like our communications team. You can be someone like me who runs logistics and is sort of behind the scenes. You can be a nurse. So it really introduces them to the fact that the mission field needs pastors for sure, but also needs a wide variety of vocations. And it lets them kind of peel back the curtain and see into our normal lives. They get to come to our houses and just see how we live, because I think people are interested in that. And if there's families that have kids, they get to meet the kids and see what, you know, what their schooling looks like and what their friends are like and what they do for fun. And just all of those kinds of things that you don't really think about, or you have a concept from, you know, movies or something or from long ago, but don't really have a concrete idea of what it looks like today.
How important is it for participants on a mission education team to actually serve, not just observe, but get in and serve in order to really experience what happens in the mission field?
It's imperative. All mission education teams are participatory. They are absolutely not wallflowers that are just watching us do mission. They're engaged mm-hmm. in some way, usually lots of ways. They're getting their hands in there, getting their hands dirty, getting outside their comfort zone in a lot of ways. I may ask them to, there may be some kind of work project or some kind of hands-on service project involved. And these guys did some heavy lifting, hung some curtains for us. And then they also led a Bible lesson for kids at our Lutheran school. Some of them had some Spanish, but not all of them. And so that was a bit of a challenge, which they met with flying colors. It was excellent. So I definitely come up with things that teams need to prep for in advance, and I'm asking them to put in a little bit of sweat equity too.
What are the future opportunities for mission education that are available? Who's eligible? What are those things that we need to know, thinking about opportunities in the future, maybe as a student at seminary, a student in another church work program, or maybe someone who just wants to know more about what happens in the mission field? What are the opportunities?
Yeah, mission education is great for a wide variety of demographics. It's good for new congregations that are just dipping their toe into international overseas service, international mission trips, because they really get to see kind of everything that goes on. And then maybe from there, they figure out where they can plug in on a more ongoing basis and focus their efforts a little bit more. It's great for college and seminary students because it helps them. I mean, it's recruitment. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it. It's recruitment. These people are studying to be future church workers, and maybe for some of them, that's going to mean an overseas call or an overseas vicarage or internship assignment. And even if that's not them, they are going to be in front of a parish or a key leader in a parish. And so they're going to be that much more informed about how their congregations can support what's going on, what their church is doing overseas. It's also great for groups that maybe aren't in a place where they want to be, you know, swinging a hammer in the hot sun every day, because it can be a little more slower paced, a little more laid back. So it's really suitable for a wide variety.
What are the next steps then to learn about mission education opportunities and maybe even apply for one?
LCMS.org/serve now. It's very, out there.
Very good. Any recommendations, students, any recommendations of something that might be helpful in discerning if this is something to pursue?
I think when you really value your home and your own country and your own place, that's God's real first way of helping you think about mission. Like when you realize how much you value where you are and where you come from and everything you've inherited, helps you realize, I want other people to experience this too, this inheritance of the gospel and the Lutheran confessions and all these great things that help you be a strong Christian. And you want to give to other people as well. So I think that's a first step.
My recommendation is, whether you're considering long-term missionary service or not, is to go. It gives you an idea of what the church looks like, you know, in various forms and in size. And you know, you get an idea of how this all works. And as Ms. Aaron said, even if you're not planning on being a mission, this is part of the church, and it's exposure to something you probably aren't going to see otherwise. And these are also some of the most hospitable people. They went out of their way in many ways to open up their homes and their lives to us. And you know, we are very grateful for that. And it's one of those opportunities, I think, that you should take advantage of.
Very good. Our guest today, Aaron Wade, first-year student at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, and Patrick Randolph, fourth-year student at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Aaron McKenzie, volunteer coordinator for the Latin America and Caribbean region with the LCMS Office of International Mission. Aaron, always a joy to have you on the Coffee Hour. Thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, anytime.
You can learn more about international opportunities by visiting servenow.lcms.org. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.